of the Jews. Now, you are of the seed of Abraham, isn't it? Your wife is telling you that, Charlie, it's done. Forget it. Yeah, you are in trouble. Now, my issue is, what is it that will make heaven to stop for you? Will heaven make a stop? Will God say, oh, let's stop. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 1. Let's start from verse 4. The Bible tells us about this man, Job. The Bible says there was no one like him. He shunned evil. He was a man who feared God, who did all things. And the Bible says, and his sons went and feasted in their houses. Everyone had his day. That screen. Okay. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink. Verse 5, please. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, perhaps by chance, in their delight, in their excitement, they cursed God. But I want you to see something there. The Bible says he used to offer sacrifices to God, but to each and every child. Maybe let me talk to those who are parents. Have you offered offerings to God for your children? Or you take it this is official? Hey, the church is quiet. Yeah. The Bible says this man was so diligent, he was so spiritual, that he took it upon himself. Me, myself, and my children are going to worship God. And now and then he will come before the Lord and even give. Where was the heart of Job? It was before the Lord. He was always desiring the best. And so he gave offering according to each and every of his children. Can you ask your neighbor, have you ever given offering for your children? Specifically those who have children. Hey, the church is quiet. You are scaring me now. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because the measurement of your generosity is your heart. Where there is no generosity tells us that there is a level of pride that you have achieved and done much of what you have by yourself. So Job, when he realized, my children, then he took it upon himself that, oh, I'm going to labor and help my children and make sure that they live in the presence of God. Am I telling somebody? Are you here? Exodus chapter 10, verse 8 to 11. I realize the argument, so I want to answer your argument. Hallelujah. That Satan will want you and your children not to worship God. And part of it is the treasure that is in our heart. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The book of Exodus chapter 10, verse 8 to 11 says, so Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? That is the question that Pharaoh asked. Who are the ones that are going to do what? To worship God. And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters. Let me talk to the parents and those who desire to be parents. Never leave your children at home from a very young age. Are you here? Yeah. Never leave your children. Because that's what Pharaoh wants. Are you here? Can we stand, please? I'm not finishing. Can you be on your feet? Because there are no amen. I'm not sure if you are here. I'm asking somebody. Yeah. And Moses says, we will go with our young and our old. Can you read? Let's read it together. We'll go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Next verse, please. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, for evil is before you. Verse 11. And not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, that you. And they were driven out from the presence of Pharaoh. Amen. Now, I want you to see something that Pharaoh didn't mind that the adults will go and worship God. But it says, the children shall not worship God. They shall not give offerings. They shall not give what? They must not go and sacrifice. They must not see the sacrifices of God. Some of us as parents are suffering. Our children don't want to serve God. Because when it was a day to take them to a place of sacrifice, I was saying, can I see the parents here? If you are a parent, okay. Do you have a children at church? What offering did you give to your children? I have a case in our church. We usually say we don't want an offering that make noise. In other words, no coins at church. No what? Can you say it? No? Yes, so the children were taught that no coins in church. God doesn't want noise. You remember when they were building the altar? The Bible says don't chisel, don't make this, no noise. So we taught them that no noise when you worship God. Your offering should as well be as quiet but as big and stout. You get it? So the father was going to give an offering. So he had like 50 CD. So while he was searching his small pocket, have you held your note with your lips? So he took his 50 CD and he held it. When he was looking for 5 CDs. And the boy pulled the 50 CDs from the mouth and told the father, my offering must be quiet. You will give the coins yourself. I will not give. So the father was forced to put this coin back and take another note. Now the question, this is a serious issue. What you are teaching your children is evil, it's unrighteous. That the Lord, you can give the Lord insignificant. Even the coins you are giving to your children, or they can't even buy whatever on the street. It's just a ritual that they must go forward. I've seen parents do it. But Pharaoh, is the desire of Pharaoh. He says, let the children stay. Let them not know the importance and the significance of worship. And if we do not know, if the parents doesn't know the importance, the significance of worship, children will not have faith. Because if you teach them, you tell them this offering is by faith. And they should see that it's a big note. You have given them with intent. You didn't pass by the people who sell by the road to change your note to make it many. We are going to take more than one offering. So, I already told you that you are not spiritual. I already told you are long backsliding. Your offering have not grown for all the years. You disregard God. Your mind is not in it. Your worship to God. That's why I say, if Monday you are not in the spirit, it's not surprising you are not promoted. Your promotion has not come. Because you are not in the spirit. Imagine somebody. Are you here? So Pharaoh said, good, you can go. But your children shall not come. When you pay your tithe, your children should see you. You should put the envelope aside. This is tithe. What is tithe about? Then you tell them. I know you don't believe in tithe. Can you give us the book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 11? God says, I will stop what? The devourer for your sake. There are certain battles you can't fight. They are out of your league. The Bible says we fight not against, but we fight against what? Principalities, against powers, against spirits of wickedness in heavenly places. There are certain places we cannot fight ourselves. It's what we do that makes heaven to stand. To say, this one, we will fight. Do you imagine that the king could not sleep? It was because he drank too much coffee. No. Heaven stood. And possibly all the bedbugs came out that day. To make sure that the king will have no sweet sleep. He must just wake up. I visited one place one day. And I tried to sleep. I could not sleep. The bedbugs were horrible. I woke up. And they are afraid of light. To show you that these are more like demons. When you put the light on, you can't even see what has bitten you. Switch off the light, then you see demons coming out to suck your blood. Now, I want you to understand that when the king could not sleep, it was heaven that stood. God made the king to think. I'm going to tell somebody. Are you here? So, don't take it for granted. Now, the children, what you give to them, when you pay the tithes, my verse is there. It says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not destroy what? The fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So there are certain levels that you cannot be able to fight, regardless how strong you are. Imagine somebody. Your contract that has been canceled can be renewed. Yes, if you have faith. Unfortunately, most of us, we only give offerings trying to bribe God. Have you tried to bribe God before? Yeah, I've seen people give because they are going through, specifically business people. Yeah, business people. I've seen them trying to give. One businessman made a statement that says, they give but they never tithe. Yeah, because their offering is big. We had a member in our church who said to us, her business was doing very well, like 1 million rand a month. And it says 100,000 is too much to tithe. So she will donate. And then when you get into trouble, that's when they try, they are thinking they are covering whatever losses. So they come with a big offer and say, oh man of God, pray for me, this problem. And I start to say, have you honored the Lord? Let's leave the offering. I mean, because you are thinking we are about offering. No, we are about you. Have you honored the Lord? Are you a man of honor? Or you are led by circumstances? Your situation is moving forward. Now that you are married for 5 or 10 years, you are realizing there's no fruit of the womb. So let's do something to bribe the Lord. The church is quiet again. Yeah. Imagine somebody. May the Lord have mercy. May you conceive and have children in the name of Jesus. May the Lord have mercy. So the Bible says Job gave offering for his children. Why did he do that? Because he understood that the enemy will want to fight him. Imagine somebody. The enemy will want to destroy him. So even us, as we come before the Lord, the book of Malachi 3:11, it says, God will stop what? The devourer for our sake. Now the last part is that, have you been faithful? Ask your neighbor, have you been faithful? Yeah. Will heaven move because of you? Imagine somebody. Can you take us to verse 8? Just 2-3 verses back. Verse 8, Malachi 3:8. Then I close. Hallelujah. Can we read it together? One to go. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes. I think offering we sort it out. Because the Bible says we should offer what? An offering of what? Of righteousness. Can we go? We'll come back here. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Because I can hear your argument. Hebrews chapter 7. We are reading verse. Let's start from verse 6. We'll go down. Verse 8 is our verse. It's about. Can we read together? One to go. But he whose descendant is not counted from the tithes, blessed him that had the promise. Next verse, please. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, man that die received tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed. Now, the scripture we have read, the three scriptures. One, we learn that the lesser is blessed by the greater. You can't bless yourself. The second part that verse 8 emphasizes is that here on earth, mortal men who die, receive what? Tithe. Men who die. I receive tithe. I'm a man who die. Hey, the church is quiet. The Bible says, it says, even though it seems like when you pay your tithe, you are paying it on earth. What does it say? Yes. It says, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed, he liveth. You remember when we started, I said, God is spirit and we are spirit. The book of John gave us the understanding, says, those who are, yes. Yeah, it says, if you worship God, you must worship God in what? In spirit and in truth. And Romans, what did it say? Chapter 8, verse 4. Those who are sons, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So, here the Bible tells us that when we come, we stand before God. We are not standing before men. As of now, we are standing in His presence. And if you don't understand, if you are not in awe of Him, you will miss Him. If you don't worship, if you don't fear Him, you will miss Him. And my emphasis here being, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And today, because the church has been put under pressure, the offering on the altar has reduced. In other words, there's no longer fire on the altar. The passion and the love that people had for the Lord, they no longer do it. So Satan wants to withhold the hand of God. Am I talking to somebody? Are you here? So my challenge to you is, what offerings have you been faithful with your tithe? The Bible says, will a man rob God? Can you ask your neighbor, will a man rob God? Yeah. Say it, but you have robbed him. Hey. Yeah, we have robbed him. And he says in what? Huh? In tithe and what? Yes, in tithe and offering. Let's take the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 31. They say the pastor closes three times before he closes, eh? Hallelujah. Amen. And it says, and forces shall be mastered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. In other words, Satan will do everything within his power to make sure that there's no more offerings that will be given to the altar to God. And he will divide it. What they will give will no longer be a true sacrifice, nor be a true offering. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, they shall corrupt with flattery. He shall corrupt with what? Yes, he will flatter you. People will claim, I've served God, but it's just flattery. They have not given the true offering. The sacrifice they gave, it's not a true sacrifice. Hey. He says it will flatter them, but the people who know they are God shall be strong and carry out what? Great exploit. So the challenge I'm giving to us is that until we come to know what the Lord has called us to do, you will fail. Your spirituality will be measured in all circumstances. And I think the greatest challenge we have is if we are going to see the advancement of the work of God, it will be what we treasure the most. Please take your seat. Hallelujah. So Satan has come to flatter you. Many of us are flattered because we want to show off. Many of us are flattered because we think what we are doing is important. Now, the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, it says, it gives us that understanding that it's only God who can stop the devourer. The enemy knows it very well. And so he will tell you, don't do it. I've listened to people argue, oh, it was about crops, it was about this. We usually say we give because we love God. Can you say it? We give. Because we love God. Number two, we give. Because we love, this is mega church. We give because we love what mega church is doing. Yes. Number three, we give because God has promised to bless us. Yes. And lastly, we give because we want our community to be blessed. Are you aware that this property, we can't take it away? It's a benefit. Our church properties have been used by the community for funerals, for weddings. Many community activities have happened in our church. We've had the community come in because this is an investment. Minute you build a church, I've been there where the church seems to be in the bush. And within a short space of time, a whole community develops around it. Are you here? So God has a good plan for your life, not to harm you, but to do what? To bless you. God has a good plan that you may move forward. So I said the measure of your giving and generosity is your heart. What you do to your children, how you guide them, when you come to church, your faithfulness in giving, in tithes, your spirituality, becoming a son of God, allowing yourself to be led, not just giving because you have the money to give, but becoming conscious, I'm in the presence of God. You remember Gabriel, what Gabriel said? He says, I stand in the presence of God. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I stand in the presence of God. So there's no flattery in me because the Bible says Satan will flatter them. The kind of offerings they will give, they will be useless. I've said before, and maybe let me repeat it here. Whatever that you give to the Lord, as long as you are not seriously inconvenienced, you have not started to give. If it's convenient for you, then you have not started. When you give, it expresses what you treasure. What is it that you treasure? We will see it. The Bible says, don't give grudgingly or out of necessity. Oh, we need money for this. It's then that you are moved. You should be a man of the Spirit. Can't tell anybody, you should be a man of the Spirit. Yeah, you should know what the Lord will need. Let every man determine in his heart what he will give to the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, not out of necessity or with grudge. Always be a cheerful giver. Tell your neighbor, always be a cheerful giver. The Bible tells us that the heart is wicked. Huh? The heart is what? Yeah, the heart is wicked. So we don't have pure hearts when we give. May the Lord have mercy. And pray to God that you do not become poor. The poor work for money. Did you hear what I said? The poor work for what? Yes. Because you think the harder I work, the more I will make. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he adds no sorrow. So those who sorrow, when you read the book of Psalms, the Bible says he giveth sleep to his beloved. It is God, his shalom that prospers us. It's his peace that advances our cause. Are you here? Hallelujah. So may God, the blessing of the Lord is upon you, and have the understanding that God has blessed me tremendously. Hallelujah. May God your number one in everything that you do. Don't take a journey without God affirming and confirming it. Hallelujah. David said, it was in my heart in the first place to build God a house. It was where? In my heart. What is in your 2 Chronicles 6 verse 8? But God said, no, your son will build a house. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 2 and 3. David said his affection for God. Where is your affection? Can you ask your neighbor, where is your affection? Yeah. Many of us have no affection for God. We're making prayers during intercession, and one of our fathers stood up and said, let's have pity for God. You know, I felt it, that I don't think about God. Most of the time, I think about myself. He says, think about how God feels about our situation. When our leaders are doing all this, you know, during elections, leaders will go to shrines publicly with cameras. He says, let's feel pity for God, because the level of pretense among us is serious. How does God feel about it? Mercy. Are you here? Yeah. David says, I put aside things that are necessary for the house of God to be built. Let's not wait until we are asked to do anything for God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? In our pursuit of all that we could get, let's make sure that God is the number one. The book of John 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have an everlasting life. Hallelujah. Verse 17 of the same chapter says, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. So, in the midst of success, breakthroughs, and all that we do, God should remain the central focus of what we do. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. I pray that in the day of your hour, you'll not come to God by night. Hallelujah. Amen. But you will love the Lord. You will give the Lord the best of yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you are here today, you have been coming to church. Or maybe today is your first day. As we read, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I want to pray together with you that your life be spared. Maybe you are here, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today you can make right with God. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God has a plan for your life, to advance, to uplift you, to build you up. And if you are here today, you say, please pray with me. I want to receive Jesus. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be a child of God. Lift up your right hand and we'll pray together. I want to receive Jesus. God bless you. I see your hand. Is there somebody else? God bless you. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be a child of God. Is there somebody else? God bless you. Is there somebody else? God bless you. Is there somebody else? I want to receive Jesus. I want to make right with God. Don't let this moment to pass you by. Don't be too close, yet too far. Don't be in church in the place of God, but do not know the God of the scriptures. Is there somebody else? This is my last call. Is there somebody else? I want to receive Jesus. I want to make right with God. I want to be born again. We're going to pray. I'll ask the church to stand. And I'll ask those who lifted their hands, please come here on the altar. Let's pray together. Can we give a powerful clap? Can we stand together? Let's allow them to come. If you lifted your hand, please come. Can we give a powerful clap of praying to the Lord? Come, 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 come. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Can we give a powerful clap offering if we are giving an offering to the Lord? There were more hands that went up. Come, don't be intimidated. We're going to pray. I'll ask the church to join us as we pray. I'll ask of you here who are standing in front. Can you say, Father? Church, can you join us? Can you say, Father? In the name of Jesus, I thank you today for your grace, your love, your kindness towards me. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you, Father. Wash my sins with your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Can you say, Satan, today I cut ties with you. I love Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I'm giving my life to Jesus. Can you say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Lead and guide me from this moment forward in Jesus' name. Can we give a powerful clap offering to the Lord? Amen. We have our beloved there. Thank you. May the Lord bless you. Can we give a powerful clap offering as they go? While we are standing, I want us to take some few prayers. The first prayer is a prayer of repentance. A prayer of what? A prayer of repentance. The Bible says, where your heart is, there, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hallelujah. So I want us to come before the Lord as we pray to say, Lord, forgive me for neglecting my spirit, for neglecting your presence. Sunday is a good day and all the days of the week, but we need the presence of God. Hallelujah. Can you lift up your right hand? Can you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent today. Forgive me, Father, for neglecting your presence in my life. From today, I commit myself to become conscious and aware of your presence, for you are ever with me. You promise you will never leave me, nor will you forsake me. I thank you, Father, that I'm ever in your presence, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to take a second prayer. This is a prayer of repentance. I want you to come out. If you are in our midst, you have struggled with your giving in terms of tithes and our offerings. You have been inconsistent. In my country, we have, you know, the maize corn, the corn. In the village, sometime you go and reap, but you realize that not the whole corn has grown. Certain parts. It looks so ugly. You call it what? Yeah, it has a lot of gaps in between. Some of us are like that. We give as and when. Not that we cannot give. If you know, Lord, I want to repent. I turn from this unrighteousness. I turn from what? My unrighteousness. Lord, I know I cannot fight the devourer, the destroyer. I cannot fight this level. It is in my obedience. Because the Bible in the book of Isaiah, chapter 119, it says, if you are what? If you are willing and you are obedient, you'll eat what? The good of the land. We want the good of the land. But we have to be honest and truthful with ourselves. So if you are that person, say, oh, I've not been consistent. I've not even paid the tithe at all. My offerings are shameful. Please come. As they give us a song, come, I want to pray with you. I want you to come out as we stand on the altar of the Lord to say, Lord, I'm turning towards you today. Turn my situation, O God. Have mercy upon my life. May the devourer be stopped for my sake. May your grace and your mercy come my way. Lord, enable me to be faithful. Enable me, Father, to fight like Acts chapter 10. May my offerings become a memorial before you in the name of Jesus. I'm waiting on you. I'm still waiting on you. I could have made this prayer and say, oh, let us pray, let's ask for forgiveness. There is a power in standing on the altar like this, because it brings change. We broadcast in the heavens that my life has changed. I met with somebody during a deliverance service. Some of the stories that are told by Derek Prince, he made a statement. He says there was a woman in church who was dressed so neat, so well, that when the demons were being cast out, she came and said, I want deliverance, but look how I'm dressed. So she didn't want to fall down. She didn't want to be embarrassed. And the priest, when he answered, says, okay, you can keep your demons. You can keep what? Yeah, you can keep your decency. Be decent. Let nobody know. I will change by myself. It's not possible. So we're going to sing. I want you to come. Because the Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants to change your circumstance and your situation. I'm telling somebody. God wants to uplift your life. I have a testimony personally. Many years ago, 2010, when Bishop was being moved here, the Lord guided me to preach on Jubilee. You know Jubilee? Jubilee means 50. 49, then you jump into 50, then it's Jubilee. 7777, then on the 49th year, the Bible says proclaim Jubilee. So I proclaimed Jubilee in the church. And part of the reason, we were indebted. In my country, loans are almost, even children have loans. That's how wicked the system is. So the Lord says, I'll make you to be debt free. I will set you free. By the time, I didn't own anything. I believe the Lord. I taught in the church. We called the people. And part of the things we did, the Holy Spirit told me, bring a kufen. You know a kufen? Like a casket. Yeah. I wanted that the hairs should bring it, but the elder said, oh, that will be mystical. People will be very offended. So we made one with cardboard, brought it to church. We said to people, bring all your accounts. Let's do it. So we did. We had an evening service, burial service for our credit card debt, our mortgage debt, and so forth. And the night came. We sang songs of victory. We preached the word. And we went outside in the park, and we banned all this with songs of Jubilee. 2013, 2014, the Holy Spirit said to me, how many title deeds do you have? When I checked, I had 5. I didn't even think about it. But because my heart changed, I was the number one sinner in the church. Do you understand? When the church was repenting, I was the number one repenter. I came with my own things. And I never owned anything. But I made the decision, I'm going to honor and love the Lord. My moving forward, it doesn't matter what my neighbor says. I had a friend who used to compare, every altar call you go. I said, are you me? You're not me. My problems are not your problems. Your dignity makes you not to come forward because your sins are forgiven. Mine, I'm coming forward because I want God's intervention in my life. So I said, it doesn't matter how many times I go forward. Sometime when they make salvation altar call, I still come forward and feel like my salvation is not complete. And they say, but you came, you have been born again for some. I say, it's true. But today, this the way the preacher preached, I feel like I need to come again. Do you understand? It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with my personal conviction. Is that fine? So deliverance is happening here. God is seeing our heart. God is turning our circumstance around. Hallelujah. We're going to take the song. I don't want you to be left out. I want you to make the decision, Lord, I'm going forward because I want to move forward in my life. These are steps of prophetic action. I'm leaving my past. I'm moving forward with God. My finances will change. Because I've honored you. Lord, I know you will honor me. Hallelujah. Can we take the song again, please, as we wait on you to come? I know you are here.
The same again. I will never return.
Ask of all those standing here, can we lift up our hands? I'll ask of you to follow me. Can you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today for your grace. I stand here in repentance. I turn from my works. And Father, I rely and depend on you. From today, Father, fix my finances. I thank you, Father, for your ways is the just. For the Lord says, the just shall live by faith. Today, I choose to live by faith. I thank you, Father. Turn my circumstance around. Turn my situation around. May today be my day of breakthrough. May my walk be a prophetic walk to enter new levels of life. In your faithfulness, in your provisions, may I return to this altar again with joy and jubilation for answered prayer. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I will pay my tithes faithfully. I will give because I'm the Son of God. I'm led by the Spirit. I will give spiritual offerings led by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that from today I will give because where my treasure is, my heart will be also. You are my treasure. You are my treasure. You are the love of my life. You are the center of my attention. I thank you, Father, for your provisions. Bless the work of my hands. Prosper my coming in and my going out. I receive the grace. As I repent, O Father, may it be so with me, with my finances, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give a powerful shout and a powerful clap of hallelujah. The Bible says, God says, I will stop the devourer for your sake. May it be so with you. Amen. God said, you'll be the head and not the tail. May it be so with you. Amen. Bible says, you will be the beloved. You'll be the apple of God's eye. May you be so in your life in the name of Jesus. May the power of God be resident upon you as you remain faithful. May God show forth His grace upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we give a powerful clap offering as you go back to your seats? Hallelujah. Please don't sit. Let's remain standing if you can. Join me. Let's stand together if you can stand. I want us to take an offering. Hallelujah. We are taking a redeeming offering. We are taking what? Yes. We are taking a redemption offering. Can we go back to the book of Job chapter 1? The Bible says Job will give offering for each and every of his children. As well, we are going to give a redeeming offering for our children. And in particular, if you have children that are struggling, in our country, you have single-headed household. Do you have single-headed households here? Women who have children, but they are never married. So we teach the parents, learn to redeem yourself. Don't wait for your children to mature and to start to become a challenge for you because now they are bringing children into the house. So redeem them by your offerings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to come before the Lord. The Bible in the book of Acts chapter 10 says, this man gave his offering and the angel visited him. And he says, what is it, Lord? And the Bible says, your offerings, your prayers and your offering have become a memorial. As well, I want you to redeem your offering. You have been given 10 CD. Hey, Lord, mercy. Can you imagine? So I want us to come today to say to the Lord, I'm going to redeem myself. And I'm going to redeem my children. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want you, as you come before the Lord, you have that understanding that my giving and my offering should not be the same. There must be a transition, a transformation, and a renewal. My take usually is, the kind of offering that you give should move you. In other words, your system should be shocked. That, oh, you can give 500. You can give 1,000. Satan should be even worried that, hey, this one has crossed the line. Am I to somebody? Are you here? Can we lift up our right hand? Can you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, today I'm giving because I'm a spirit man. I'm committed to seeing the kingdom of God advancing. Father, I repent from my unconscious offering. Giving without thinking. Giving just what I have. But today, I come again in repentance. Even in my offerings, in my giving, in my paying of tithes, I have changed. Lord, I give even now because I repent. Hallelujah. So I want you to come as we are going to give to the Lord, to say, Lord, turn my circumstance around. Hallelujah. Let my offering speak for me. Thank you. My question to you is, have you turned? Ask your neighbor, have you turned? I like the example that was given that show your neighbor your offering. Have your heart been shocked by what you give to the Lord? The day when I turned, the Lord showed kindness towards me. I was sitting in my house one day, and my beloved wife got a phone call. Somebody called and said, will Apostle mind to receive a house as a gift? So I said, because Matthew 6:33, what does it say? What? Seek ye first. And? Yes, I was sitting in my house when the call came. The family was sitting. It was a very difficult situation. The man has lost his wife. So when the wife died, he decided, I'm going to give a house away. You get it? So when they got the call, I said, oh, I'm interested. When my wife got the call. Now, because most of us, you know, you will want me to say, oh, 1,000 CD, 10,000. That is one part we do. But I want you, your heart to be moved. You must hear the Spirit. You must hear what? The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit are what? Yeah. When the man said it, I was so excited. I said to my wife, the following day, I got into my car. I said, I'm going to see the house. So I got into my car and we drove. It's about 1 hour, 30 minutes from where I stay. I pick up the man. He stays in town. We drove towards the place where he says the house is. We went there. And when I arrived, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a house. Yeah, it was a modern. It was 12 flats. Yes. Money generating flats. There were tenants in the property. No, I mean, you don't believe in miracles. You don't, because I don't want to stir you from the flesh. I want to stir you in the Spirit. I want you to hear the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Yes. We were standing in church. We were starting another church. Our city, we have Johannesburg. I'm in Pretoria. So the city has a midway. It's called Midrand. Midrand. So it's right on the center of the two cities. We were buying property there. And the Holy Spirit said, we should give. Now I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for a number of years. And the Holy Spirit said, give your pensions. So I was sitting with my wife. And so I'm thinking about it. Will this woman agree? So I said, to her, oh, the Holy Spirit have just spoken to me that we should give. Oh, she said, oh, of course, go ahead. I went ahead, I gave. It was a couple of hundreds of thousands of rands, which we gave. Now, when we finished, I was sitting in my house. This is a second testimony. I was sitting in my house. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, open your iPad, you know, like computer. Open. He made me to say, I was watching something on television. He says, no, check. The same thing that you see on television, something that is happening in America, you know, these programs for housing and whatever. So I opened, so I wrote the same weight that I saw on television. And possibly about 5-6 kilometers from my house, I found the same kind of house. So I said, oh, let me buy this house. And I tried all. I was trying to raise a mortgage. You remember I prayed for mortgage the other time. And all the banks said, no, we will not give you money. You are a pastor. Can you say you are a pastor? So they didn't give me anything. So then the Holy Spirit said to me, phone the bank the following day. Phone it in the morning. And he gave me time, 8 o'clock. Because the house was like repossessed house. You know, people buy houses with mortgage. And then they can't pay. So in the morning, I pick up the phone. I call the bank. And when I speak to the banker, the other person, he says, yes, the property. I told him, I'm a pastor. I wanted to buy the house for myself. He says, okay, do you have a computer? I said, yes, I've opened the site. So he says, I'll drop it. So he dropped it by 1 million. So when he dropped it, I've already paid 300 into the property. So he dropped the price to 500. So I paid the 200. And then I own the property. Nobody can believe it, because if you come and see the place, you wouldn't believe. When I went to fetch the title deed, it was two properties, not one. Yes. I was sitting in my house. I'm trying to show you that we could call it random. You know, according to your education, you say, it's luck. Only to find there were two properties. That property has 13. It's a bachelor student accommodation. You get it? So I said, hey. Because the Lord says, I will bless you. I'll do what? Because when you give with your mind, there'll always be a limitation. Because you don't have faith, you do not believe. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, can you give me verse 2? We can start from verse 2. The Bible says, by faith the elders obtained a good report, a good testimony. Do you understand? It says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? By the word of God. So when you become spiritual, you enter another dimension. Because when other people are doing things in the natural, you do things by conviction. You become like a madman. You know a madman? If God tells you, walk barefoot, you will not say, hey, why? You'll walk barefoot and say, hey. So when the Lord spoke to us in 2010, he says, look at your title. I had 5. And I don't remember buying. Not to say, now we prayed, we made prayer. So I want you to have that understanding, because I can see how you gave your offering. That, I don't know, maybe it's my intuition that you are giving your normal offering. You're giving what? You brought your 10 CD again. But we're going to take an offering by the Spirit. By what? Yes. I must be moved to give. Hey, the church has gone quiet again. I say, we're giving by what? Yeah, I pray that the Holy Spirit talks to you. Your redemption is not in me telling you. Your redemption is in you hearing what the Spirit is saying. You know, the Bible says the gift is precious to the giver. Do you understand? I had a young man in our church. He was at the university, one of our prestigious universities, University of Pretoria. So his parents paid for his lodging, his breakfast and dinner at the lodge where he's staying. So they never give him pocket money. So, and he treks to church every day. Whatever time he comes to church, he never have money. So he told me, he says, for 6 months, I've been desiring to give you an offering. You know, when you do the honor the prophet. He raised 100 CD. So he told me, he says, it was coins. I had to go to the bank and I begged even the teller. I need a crispy, brand new note. I mean, what is 100? What will I do with 100? Do you understand? But I understood the scripture. The gift is precious to the one that is giving it. To you, it might be insignificant. My wife likes saying, what we give to God is like the mud cake. You know, children play house. They'll say they are cooking and bring something that you can't even eat. They say, Daddy, here is food. And you behave like you are eating. Sometimes it's the kind of gifts we bring to God. But it's the sincerity of our hearts. Hallelujah. Can we bow our heads together? I want us to pray. I want the Holy Spirit to talk to you. And I want you to respond to Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are before your presence. I pray, Father, even today, that Lord, as we give, may we be convicted in our giving. May we be moved. May you touch our hearts, O Father, not to be carnal, not to be led by our sight. For Lord, your word teaches us that, Lord, you are the Lord who leads us. Your word says, those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. I pray even today that, Father, may we be moved even as we give today, that your grace and the power of your Spirit will work your wonders in us in the name of Jesus. Speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I might be speaking to all of you, but I might be speaking to one person. Hallelujah. So I want us to receive an offering as the Spirit has led you. Hallelujah. Can we come, please? Your heart is struggling. You say, the Bible says the Spirit is leading you. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. So you are struggling with the amount. You say, oh, should I give? Should I not give? Yes. Listen to the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you'll do well for yourself. Don't wait for the circumstances to make you give. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, today that we are men of the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit of God. And Father, I pray even today as we lift up these offerings, we say, Father, may you bless, prosper, and establish us. Father, we pray, as you spoke in the book of Acts chapter 10, that your offerings and your prayers has become a memorial. May these offerings, Father, fight for us. From today, O Father, we will not give just, but Father, will give with consciousness, in righteousness, we will honor you. We thank you, Father, for this grace. Bless and prosper your people in Jesus' name. Amen.